I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Yes, highway patrol. That is the key for this morning. That is another edition of Safety Talk. As I'm Craig Montana, being joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan in studio from the DPS, answering your questions about highways, byways, backways, any kind of roadways.
Waterways.
So I was going to say, you know, two-wheel, four-wheel, or no wheel.
We got boats on the water now.
Okay. Yeah. So you got you covered. They got you anything inside the state of Texas, right?
We got the air, we got ground, and we got water. Did I leave anything out?
You guys are border to border.
Yeah.
Ground and air.
Yeah.
Water.
That's pretty good.
It is. Questions for him this morning, 979-836-9937, or you can send us an email, mail@kwhi.com, and get your questions answered today. And, of course, if we hit on a subject you want him to expand on it, we can do that as well. Whatever you want to do, because he's here for you. To inform you, and if you have any questions, he'll be happy to do that, right?
Absolutely. Rush Limbaugh says that the most dangerous thing to do on talk radio is answer live questions, which we don't scan our calls here. We take them live.
We do not.
So we're a little different. We're above that notch. So
we are. We're that good.
So that's the report card's not in.
Well, you know, we're going to say till then, we're just that good.
Right.
All right. So how have you been, sir?
I'm doing good. It's I love this time of year. I always like early fall, and I always like early spring.
See,
you know,
I'm a summer guy. I like it hot.
No, can't go there. You're still young, man.
It's Texas, though, man. It's supposed to be hot all the time.
The blue bonnets are out, starting to come out. So that's going to be something that. A lot of people, they love to take pictures when they're blue bonnets and all that.
So be careful.
Certainly nothing wrong with that. If you do pull off on the side of a state highway or whatever, get completely off the roadway if you can. Some people just stay on the shoulder, which, you know, if it's wet or something, I can understand that. But there's nothing wrong pulling off in that grass even a little bit more. Turn your engine on. Make sure. Right now the grass is green, so... chance of catching a grass bar is kind of low right now, but a lot of things last night. Saw a copperhead.
I know. I've seen people on
snakes are moving
on the internet,
and fire ants are alive and doing well. Last time I looked in my pasture, so I would say before the kids go out to sit down and do all these pitches, the adults need to go out there and really kind of look around to make sure everything's good to go before the. Start asking kids to sit down on the ground. So, and if stay away from the hills and curves. Do not pull off where people cannot see you. You want to be in a location where somebody sees your vehicle for a good distance so they know you're there and slow down and ease whatever they need to do. And then if you do pull out, make sure you pull out safely and use your signal. One of the three reasons why you do have to use your signal in this state is start from a park position, and that would classify as that.
So, okay.
Got a call?
We do have a call already. Okay. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question.
Maybe they're going to give me coffee.
Yes, sir. I got a truck that hadn't been registered about a year. No inspection sticker, no registration, nothing.
Really?
Now, I plan...
That's a cheap truck.
Yeah, it is. I'll tell you the truth, it's something that I need to put back on the road.
Okay.
And I'm going to insure it first.
Okay.
And you got to get an inspection sticker first. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To get it to the inspection station, in other words, you're exempt to go to the inspection station without it being registered and no inspection sticker? I mean, is there a chance of me getting pulled over and have to pay a fine for it?
Well, let's see here. I'm going to say this. I'm glad you called. I'm glad it's one of my first calls of the morning. because I need to expand on this a little bit more, because here's the deal. There is no more display expired MVI law. That has been repealed March 1st. So any officer or any police department that stops anybody for an inspection violation would be wrong in doing so, because the law has been repealed. Now, under the old law, one of the things the exemptions you get, a person in your situation, you were allowed to drive that vehicle from your home straight to an inspection station, and if you was to get stopped, you would have to definitely explain that. But that is an exemption if you can get the police officer to believe your story. Now, you're not going to get an inspection sticker anyway now. So you're going to get a VIR report.
Correct.
Then you're going to take that down to your local registration office.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know how old is the tags on your truck. Do you know the metal plates? So you may be getting a new set of plates also.
Like I probably will.
Okay, so just take that report, and you should be good to go. So,
in other words, when you go to an inspection station,
mm-hmm.
you don't get a sticker, just that piece of paper, whatever they're going to give you.
And they enter that into the system, though. So when you show up the registration office off that tag, they're going to already show that. They should know that you already had that truck inspected before you get there.
So if I'm on the road with no registration and no inspection, you can have a sticker, but...
No, you can be stopped on the registration.
Yeah, but how do I get the registration without the sticker?
Well, you just have to keep the form, let the officer know what you're doing. Now... The question would be, do you have to have that vehicle at the registration office to register a vehicle? The answer is no.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you get that exemption on the inspection. Now, how old is your registration sticker?
Ooh, it's a couple of years old.
Okay, yeah. I think you got a situation. You technically do not have to drive that truck to the registration office, but I would do it because you're probably going to get some plates for it anyway, new plates and all that. But you would just basically tell the officer, show the officer what you're doing, and hope what's going to happen, you're going to have to answer some questions when you get down to that registration office, because they may backlog you on. They may ask you what the truck's been doing, if it's been used, and sometimes you have to pay, I call it a penalty, for not keeping the registration up on that. So you'll have to do a little explaining once you get down to the registration office what that truck actually been doing, if it's been used or not. And so that's going to be up to them how they do that.
But as far as taking it to the station and you happen to get pulled over...
You're good. There is no inspection law. We're good.
Uh-huh. And
the registration a little bit different, but I think you're okay as long as you're going to the registration office.
Yeah, because
don't be going to Joe's Crab Shack or anything, okay? Go to the registration office. Have your VIR report with you. If you do get stopped, explain to the officer what you're doing, and then let the registration catch you up where you need to be.
Okie dokie. Well, then I'm good, huh?
Yeah. Hey.
Very good.
Okay.
I certainly appreciate it.
All right. And if you do get stopped, what name to use? Craig Montana.
No, hey, wait a minute.
What am I?
Throw me off in there.
Craig. Craigslist, yeah.
Yeah, Craig said it's okay.
That's putting it against the wall there a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Y'all doing a good job. I certainly do appreciate it.
Well, right. Thank you for calling today.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. There we go. As simple as that, 979-836-9937. Talk about whatever you want to talk about today. About being safe on those roads, mm-hmm. or any kind of law questions,
right.
or regulation questions, yeah. I say.
Let's see here. The last reported fatality rate we had in the state was the 457, about 228 per month, 7.6 daily. Still hadn't had a deathless day since November 7th, 2000.
How does that compare with the previous years?
Right now, that's a little bit, we were averaging 8 or 9 last year. It's still early. I would say peak months would be summer and your holiday season, Thanksgiving and stuff, the a lot of the fatalities that you see now and a lot of the accidents that you see early on, especially coming out of winter on, say, speed, people not slowing down, wet roadways or ice or whatever it may be, if you're in Amarillo versus down here, it's just people not slowing down and losing. Matter of fact, we had a fatality on Highway 90 this past weekend, and it was raining at the time. The gentleman lost control and slid into a tree, hit him on the driver's side. The trooper that was working it told me the tires did not really look very well at all. It needed to have some better tires on the vehicle. So, you know, I tell people that driving is the most dangerous thing you do every day, day in, day out. And if you're gonna invest money, you need to invest it in your vehicle, because that's your modus of transportation to get you for your livelihood, for most people that don't sit home and play on the computer all day. So so it's very important, especially now, you know, to keep your vehicle up, the maintenance up, and someday it may save your life for doing so. So it's again unsafe speed, because condition of the roadway, not only the condition of the roadway, the conditions of his vehicle that had a part to play with that fatality crash. So let's see here now, as we move forward, things are starting to warm up, not only just for everybody else, but a lot of the TxDOT projects where they lay asphalt and stuff like that, they usually like to do that in the warmer months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think the projects for TxDOT are going to be picking up construction. I saw coming in this morning that 36 was still being worked on, that project out there and stuff. And the last report I had is that we had 146 fatalities in our construction zones last year, and somewhere a little over 20,000 crashes. So we like to remind people that, you know, that's, you know, summer kicks along, whatever, and going on your vacation, you know, they have a mapping system that you can go to that shows where their construction sites are. So you may want to look at that and see where the construction projects are. So you may want to take a different route to avoid them type of areas when you can. And certainly if you're in one, the move over law certainly applies to the TxDOT vehicles. And they usually are now putting these rumble strips in these construction zones to make sure that you're not distracted in these zones, and that you are paying attention to what's going on, and make sure you follow all the warning signs that they have up and erected in these construction zones, so we can get that number down. That's quite a few fatalities in our construction zones. Speaking of distracted driving, coming in this morning, I was listening to a couple of radio stations, and usually you turn over to a station over to kind of see what legislators are doing and understand the couple of things that are kind of what I've been getting questions on is open carry and texting and driving and all that stuff. So we'll see what is actually passed and what is actually, if it's something that does get signed. It looks like, you know, they're definitely looking at it. They've looked at it the last couple of sessions. But I will say that, again, to remind motorists that even now that we don't have a per se texting and driving state law, we certainly have enough smaller or bigger towns and even some smaller ones that have their own city ordinance. So the best practice to always be in is to stay off the phone and do a hand-free device if you find yourself having to communicate while you're operating a vehicle. And the best practice is actually just find a place to move off the roadway and take care of that conversation, whatever you got to do. And that way you get back and have a clear, free mind, and you're not concentrating on the conversation instead of concentrating on the highway and things happening around you. So that's best scenario that I can see. So We'll just have to see how that works out as far as that legislation as it goes through. Got a break. Phone call. What we got?
Okay, I got an email here, and I think somebody got to show a little bit late this morning. I want to know, can a person get a citation for not having his vehicle inspected?
Not now.
So now that I look at it here, now they're not saying sticker. No sticker. They're saying not having the vehicle inspected.
You're not going to get registration. We're in a one-year transition period. And the way this is going to work is from here on out, when it's 1 year old with, you're going to walk yourself. You're not going to have a sticker. So now if a officer stops you, the way this probably is going to play out, officer stops you, and I'm going to have to see if they rewrite, because they repealed the inspection, display inspection. So they'll have to rewrite a law about vehicle inspection and how an officer wants to enforce that. Because what I foresee down the road is that once this transition period's over with, say I stop you on a speeding violation, and then I run your tag, and in that, when I run your registration, it's going to tell me who owns the vehicle, who has the lien, who has the insurance, and if the registration is current, does it match what's on the sticker on the vehicle? And has that vehicle been inspected? So if it's not been inspected at that time, which if the registration, the way this 90-day deal is going to work out, typically most times if the registration good, that means the inspection has already been checked by the registration office, because they're not going to register that vehicle until it has an inspection sticker on it. Now, scenario is, you inspect it, say you get in this 90-day window, say it's April and you get it inspected, but the registration, and you went ahead and inspected that vehicle 90 days out before the registration was due, that little 90-day window, is it a possibility where how they're going to do that? I don't know if they're going to come back and say they want law enforcement to enforce something on that little gap, or they just want us to leave it alone. But right now, I would say, until this all gets worked out, the best policy where you don't find yourself in a bind in the courtroom, because I don't want law enforcement to make a bad stop, because I tell people all the time that smaller violations lead to bigger things. And if you stop somebody on a inspection thing today and it turns into be a person that's hauling narcotics, well, if that's the only reason you got them stopped, your probable cause for stop probably just went out the window. So, but it's a little gray how that's going to be worked out. But right now, as it speaks, the inspection law, as far as display and inspection, is out the door. You still have to get a vehicle inspected, but they want you in that 90-day window when this year transition date is over with.
Okay. Now, here's something I just thought about here. I don't know. I don't think we've discussed it yet. Are we still going to get the grace period on that registration, that 5-day
Absolutely. Grace? I'm glad you brought that up. That has not been taken away. The registration grace period has not been taken away. And so you're still going to get the 5 working days, means exclude Saturday, Sunday, and all holidays within that 5-day period. 1st of January this year. If you had a 12-14 where your registration, went really actually due, or your grace period went over until midnight of the 9th, because you got the weekend and you had the January 1st, New Year's, and so a lot of officers, I hope, did not stop vehicles for displaying expired registration because they had forgot about the 5 working day grace period. As far as I know, that's still in play.
Now, and would you still get it for the inspection, too, because, you know, you have to have 90 days?
It's the day of the – well, no, because
– so, you know, say
– yeah,
say
technically you can. You could. January, you know what I'm saying? You know what your grace period is.
Yeah.
The bottom line is before you walk in that registration office, they're going to want to see a inspection. So if you're taking, say, for instance, you're taking advantage of that, you can do that, but remember, That was only a 5-day grace period on the inspection, where you got 5 days working days on the registration. So a little bit different scenario.
And
so
you'll probably still get that 5 working days on that too.
If you take advantage, yes, technically you probably could if you took advantage.
I would say
that. But you're not see, people used to do the 5 days on the inspection because they'd pick up a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't pick up anything on registration. You can. That's why that gentleman that called in, if that car has been sitting idle because maybe had an engine blowout or whatever, mm-hmm. he's not been using it. I don't know if they still make sign affidavits, whatever. But if you say, hey, I just didn't feel like raising my car for about 2 years, well, they're going to prorate that.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay. You're not paying the $62.50 anymore. They're going to make you pay a little bit more on that scenario. So I don't know how they figure all that. It's beyond my pay grade. So, but I would tell you they will definitely be asking some questions on that scenario.
Okay. Like I said, I was just saying, next 2016, your inspection, your registration is due June 1.
Mm-hmm.
But you wait till June the 3rd to get it registered. Can you do inspection June 2 and not get in trouble?
Yes, I would say yes. That's a very possible scenario.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't ask questions, you don't get answers, right? You don't know what's going on. Just saying.
Okay. Well, let's take a break, and then I come back, we're gonna move this inspection to commercial motor vehicles.
All right.
And we'll see what the difference is.
Okay, we will do that. All right. Once again, if you have questions for Corporal Morgan, we are here in the studio for the next 30 so minutes or so. 979-836-9937 this morning is our number in the studio. Or send us an email, and that's going to be mail, mail at kwhi.com. Back in just a moment.
Is your body ready for springtime? Or is it time to put the spring back in your body? Hi, this is Faith with Faith and Wellness Brenham. Join us in March for a free seminar, Detoxing to Burn Fat, with Brenda Schwartz of Body Dynamics. Did you know that detoxing speeds up your fat burning capacity? Your body hoards fat to protect organs from heavy metals, pesticides, and chemicals lodged in your tissues. When we assist our organs of elimination with cleanse formulas, we get rid of built-up toxins. And when fat no longer has a job to do, it disappears much more easily. Brenda will cover topics such as how to clear your skin from wrinkles, breakouts, scars, and dark spots. Join us for this inspiring event on Saturday, March 28th from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Body Dynamics will be giving sample bags, door prizes, and 20% off products during this event. Ensure your place by RSVPing at 979-836-1243. Faith and Wellness, 1011 West Main Street in Brenham, your local health food store.
When it comes to protecting your family's financial future, there's no better way to do it than with life insurance. Woodman can help by showing you the ins and outs of insurance and helping you select the best coverage for your budget.
Call Sydney Sharper, Amanda Coring, or Russell Coring at Woodman of the World at 979-836-8232.
Insurance protection, financial security. Woodman of the World Life Insurance Society of Omaha, Nebraska. Woodman, with you through life.
Leroy Schrader Contractor Incorporated is your local supplier of natural building and landscape stone. Accent your landscape with patio flagstone, moss and waterfall rock, bed border stone, and boulders. Plus, they offer bulk garden and flower bed mix, topsoil, mulch, and compost. They also carry building stones for homes, fireplaces, and swimming pools, road material for driveways and septic rock. Leroy Schrader Contractor, 8051 Highway 36 North. Open weekday 7:30 till 5 until noon on Saturday. Call 836-6521 or 1-800-392-9784. If you need a grader, call Schrader.
Did you know critics have been selling Zetter tractors since 1989? Zetter has kept its original name since being established in 1946. The Zetter Proxima and Forterra models range from 88 to 140 horsepower for all of your heavy-duty tractor needs. With a Zetter, you can lower your fuel costs and time, which will save you money. Head over to Critics Tractor Repair in Brenham to test drive one today. Remember, farm better with a Zetter. Critics Tractor Repair is located on Highway 36 South in Brenham. Visit their website at critictractor.com.
Thrivent Financial helps make preparing for retirement easy. How? It all comes down to smart, simple strategies. That means no overly ambitious savings goals. Just doable, manageable solutions to help you retire more comfortably, no matter what your means. Smart, simple, doable. Just ask any of our nearly 2.4 million members. In Brenham, call your Brenham Area Associates at 979-836-0693. 979-836-0693.
Coalcourse Petroleum is currently delivering to agricultural and commercial accounts in the immediate Brenham area and between Brenham and Navasota. They can take care of your gasoline, diesel, oil, grease, cutting fluid, hydraulic fluid, and coolant needs with great service and low prices. Coalcourse Petroleum has been serving much of the Brazos Valley for almost 50 years. Call 1-800-548-6671 to place your order today. That's 1-800-548-6671 for Coalcourse Petroleum, or visit them online at coalcourse.com.
It's Brenham Cubette playoff soccer Friday night on KWHI. Friday night, the Cubettes play host to Houston Davis in Region 3 5A by district action. Kickoff is set for 5:30 at Cubs Stadium. I'm the sports doc, Ed Pavel. Join Cecil Meekins and I for Cubette playoff soccer. 5:30 kickoff, 5:15 pregame on your voice for the Cubettes, KWHI and KWHI.com.
Oh, welcome back. Safety Talk once again on KWHI. Craig Montana joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan in studio answering your question. Whatever they may be, you'll get an answer. Some form or way, you'll get an answer. It may not be with the best hands in the world. It may be not what you want to hear, but you'll get an answer, right?
DPS / comptroller.
DPS / comptroller. Okay. It works, right? All right. Well, away.
That's where I want to try to get off into on that one question.
Yeah. We're going to get right into that one.
And this, you know, for heads up, I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So.
Oh, clever. Clever, Jimbo. Clever.
Let's just get that out of the way.
We had a few questions coming off the air a while ago. Corey Morgan has stepped away for a moment, but we got questions here. One question was, okay, put it this way. Man's got a farm truck.
Right.
Okay? It's got farm tags on it. Farm is ag-exempt truck. You know, he only uses it for the farm, hauling hay and feed out for the cattle. It's the only reason he has it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to auto supply store to buy a battery for that truck.
Mm-hmm.
He's told that he cannot use his ag exempt
for the taxes
for ag exempt taxes for the battery for that farm truck.
Mm-hmm.
Want to know if there's any why that would be, or if they were wrong, or if he just understands.
That's a phone call to the state comptroller's office. I'll give you the example about that stuff. It's kind of weird because. I'm in a process of building me a barn for my sheep,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sheep, all right.
And my wife's been on me quite some time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to do it. And I'm thinking, well, I have never did this. You know, I tell people that if you're going to go get farm registration, or if you're going to get asked for taxes to be taken off for farm supplies,
mm-hmm.
then you have to have this tax ID number. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking,
that's pretty new, too.
Yeah, it would last about a session or so ago.
Yeah.
It's a couple of years, though. And so I went and got my tax ID. I'm going to build this shed. And you would think, in that situation, would you think that I would not have to pay the taxes on the metal to build the sheep?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no. That doesn't exclude. I still have to pay taxes.
Really?
So that gentleman's saying, trying to figure out why he's paying taxes on a battery for a farm truck is the same question I got. Why it metal exempt on for a sheep shed?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently I hadn't researched all that, but apparently there's a list that business people get, depending what kind of business in,
mm-hmm.
where they are told from the state comptroller's office what exemptions on what items that they will give and what won't. So it's not really the store owner. It's what the comptroller's office will allow them to do. So,
and just because you're using something for farm use doesn't mean
you're going to get tax exempt.
Okay.
That's correct. That's the best way to put it. So for him to get an answer for that, he would have to call the state comptroller's office and try to see if, or even get on their website to see if you can find what items are not included on the tax-exempt status.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope they answer your questions. If not, call...
Not Warren.
Don't joke like that. Don't do that. Call Corbin Morgan and he'll help you out a little bit further. All right. So another question came in. I want to know about age limits requirements for children riding in the front seat of vehicles.
Well, there is no. You can have an infant to whatever age you want in front of the vehicle, but there is best practice. On kids that they recommend, and if you have a passenger vehicle, a four-door, where you have some rear seating, middle seating, whatever, maybe you have a SUV or whatever, they prefer that child, anybody the under age of 13, 12 and under, they best practice, they say that child really needs to be in the middle seat, safe, mm-hmm. kind of like a car seat, safest spots, middle, mm-hmm. center of vehicle. And that's where that's coming from. But they are legally able, if the parent wants them in the front seat, there is no law saying they can't put the child there. So that's just best practice.
Okay. What about booster seats? So we're on that subject. If you had questions about booster seats, mm-hmm. How old
And we
it?
Do have a checkup event coming up. Matter of fact, I'll have to find that information. I think I'm going to ask that lady to come on. To where we can kind of talk about.
Okay, yeah, that'd be good.
So, but we do have one coming up, and far as car seats and booster seats and stuff. Remember, if your child is over the age of 8 or over 4'9", they get an exemption on the booster seats and stuff. But
is it 8 or older or over nine and up?
No, it's 4'9" over 8.
Over 8 years old.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, just because you're child meets one of them exemption. I always tell if the booster, every child is different, and then every parent has to look at their child and say, hey, look, even though they're over 8 and by law they're not have to be in that booster seat, if you look and you realize that the seatbelt still is not fitting that child properly, mm-hmm. and it's rubbing on its neck or whatever it may be because they're so... You don't want to take that child away from that booster. You want to keep them in these, even in the car seat. You want to keep them in there as long as you can because that is the best safe method, just like a seatbelt for that child. And I think you would feel bad to took your kid out of that system, whether it be a car seat or booster seat, and them seriously get hurt because some kids, like I say, everybody's different. So seat belts and car seats fit kids different. Mm-hmm. So I think every parent needs to look at that to make sure that's the right thing to do.
All right. I think we got another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Yes, sir. Good morning to Corporal Morgan. I've asked him this before, and so this is what I did. My one vehicle, the registration comes due in June, the other one in September, and I went ahead and removed the inspection because they were both due like February. Is that the correct thing I did and get them inspected right before?
Well, it is now.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
The thing about the February thing where you caught a break at is that 5 days that Craig was talking about because you got a 5-day grace period on that inspection. So if you had a 215, you actually had up to the 5th day of March to get that inspection. But now that we don't have the display law, that's been repealed as March 1st, yes, then you could have went ahead and got your inspection. Now, when was the registration due again?
One of them is in September.
No, on this particular vehicle, the one you took off the inspection that had 215 inspection, when is that registration due?
In September.
Okay, so you don't want to get inspected now. If you got it inspected in February, if you already had done that, I'm just going to go and get it done. Well, you would have to play catch up the following year because now that you didn't do that, if you waited to March, you can take that sticker off and then wait to the 90-day period prior to registering that vehicle and then go get it inspected. Because this is a transition year.
Okay. All right. So help me understand this then. What I'm saying is it okay since I took the inspection off
right.
to drive it
right.
until It's because I was thinking if I could get
you're
it.
Already going, if you took it off, you should just have a registration sticker up there, and it's got a date on it, September 2015. So you can drive that truck without that inspection prior to registering that vehicle. And
okay,
I'm not used to waiting to the last minute on this kind of stuff. If you want your stuff to show up in the system, I wouldn't go down and inspect, have my truck inspected, and 30 minutes later be in the registration line. I would give it a couple of days because I'm going to talk a little bit about glitches in the system here and stuff that I've been made aware of on a different topic. So I would say give them some time to get the system, but technically it should. As soon as you get the vehicle inspected, you're going to get a report, but that information should be listed in the data system, where if you then went to the registration office, they should be able to pull that up and show.
Right. Okay. Well, what I was wanting to do is wait till, say, June and then get it inspected.
You can do that. Absolutely. You don't want to do it any earlier than prior to the 90 days. You want to be in that 90-day window.
Okay. But as far as.
Because you're still not going to get a sticker, you're just going to get a report.
Yes, sir. I understand that part. Yeah. But as far as me having it taken it off, that was okay.
You're good. Okay. On that sticker, you were good. If you told me January, then you had a problem. But your problem's over with now, because if you didn't get stopped now, you're not going to get. If you didn't get stopped then, you're sure not going to get stopped now.
Well, yes, sir. Of course.
But
I don't
drive. Fell in that 5-day grace period going into March, so you were good to go.
Okay, so I'm okay. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate this, and I. Really, thank you all for this show.
Oh, not a problem.
Thanks for calling.
It was Craig's idea.
Yeah. I'll take credit for it all day long. Kidding me?
Oh, man. Where's the coffee around? Okay. Let's talk about commercial.
All right.
So I was visiting with the MBI guy in Bryan the other day.
Okay.
And I was going through some of this because sometimes when I... Sometimes you ever say something and you say, what did I just say?
All the time.
I said, okay, this is what I've been telling I don't know how many people I'm talking to right now, but. So I said, I'm getting more calls on a commercial. He said, well, remember on the commercial vehicles, which was really never spelled out to me until he told me this, on commercial vehicle inspections, they do not want you to wait on the 90-day window. That does not apply. So if you have a commercial vehicle inspection on your trailer or truck, they want you to go ahead and get that inspected when that sticker is due. The 90-day window does not apply to them. Now, you're not going to get a sticker. You're going to get the report, but they don't want you to wait till the 90 days. They want you, whenever it's due, go ahead and get inspected and get the report. Keep a copy of that report with you at all times. So if you do get stopped by law enforcement, mm-hmm. CVE trooper, commercial vehicle enforcement officer, because you have a commercial vehicle, have that report ready for him along with your other paperwork that you normally carry, and you're good to go.
And that's for this year? Is that going to be for every year?
Right now. I don't know about every year. That's right now. That's the rule right now.
But this year,
Do not wait. Do not do the 90-day window on the commercial inspections.
Okay.
So... there was some information I quite did not really realize what was going on, but I had read an article talked about CDL downgrades, whatever reason, and there's probably somebody out there in the listening, this might have happened to them. And so I wasn't really aware of what was going on, but, we had talked about medical cards on this program several times on several different occasions. And I always told everybody, make sure, and there was a sheet, CDL-7 form to fill out, and depending what status you had with your CDL, you marked that box, and you were either exempt or you had to go get a medical certificate, and it had to be filed with the department prior to January 30th of this year, 2015. So if that didn't happen, then... the driver license people were sending out notices that you had a downgrade of CDL. In other words, since you did not submit your port or your medical certificate, scan in, show your status, they downgraded a lot of the license. However, during all this, there was some people that got downgraded that had sent their medical certificate in. I don't want to even go figure out how all that happened. But here's the deal. If that happens to you or had happened to you, depending where you're at, if you have sent that in and all that and you had all your stuff filed in prior to January 30th of this year, what you need to do is bring your notice that you've got from the department, bring a copy of the medical certificate that you had filed, take that down to the driver license, wherever office you want to go to, whatever which one you like, and submit that to the clerk. The clerk would then file that, and they can straighten that problem up and upgrade your CDL back to its normal status that you were before you got that notice. So typically they were giving these notices out prior to actually you giving you another driver license, not showing that you didn't have a CDL. So it was actually the last warning type deal. This is what's fixing to happen to your license. So they actually are still able to go back and upgrade that where you can keep the same license you got and everything's still good to go. And we're sorry for that. If that's happened to you, computers sometimes, I don't know. I don't know anything about them. So.
nobody does.
You know, they say things happen. Okay. we're trying to make sure that doesn't happen, but there's nothing perfect in this world. And so, we got what, 27 million people in this state now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance when you got, you know, that many people, and I would say a majority of them are licensed drivers in this state, that some things are going to happen when you're dealing with that much volume. So, but if you have any other questions of that, just make a bring a copy of your notice and a copy of your medical certificate to your license office, and they will make that correction and get you back to where you need to be. All right?
All right.
What else we got?
Let's see, check the emails here. Let's see. Oh, nothing coming through here. No phone calls. So we got about 10, 11 minutes left in the show today. So
okay.
We got a few more things you can touch
on. Sure,
here.
I got quite a few things here. I had visited one of my other radio shows. I had visited...
You do other radio shows besides this one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean...
I thought we were special.
Well, you are. I mean, I don't know what the ratings are, but... I was special. I even got a license plate since I am. But anyway, I have found out that the Texas Parks and Wildlife have their own canine now. They have about 10 dogs.
Okay.
They're non-aggressive. I guess they'll lick you to death. They won't bite. But they're the Christy Vail. She's out of the Austin area, but covers down through here, Milam County. I don't know who's actually got Washington County. I'll check with her to see who's got it. But I had her on, and it was interesting that they do drug searches, but they also do missing persons when they're out, you know, somebody, they're looking for somebody and stuff. So if the county gets in that situation where somebody's lost or whatever, they have the dogs to track them. And certainly what you do in that search, you know, the police department, if it's persons lost in the city limits, or your local sheriff's department, make contact with them, and they will do the request for the dog if they think a dog is needed. But they're just trying to get the message out that they do have their own canine program now. They have about 10 dogs, and if the law enforcement in the area needs them, they're available to respond. So they're just another avenue that they have. I just thought I'd point that out, that a good thing for Texas Parks and Wildlife. They do have their own canine program. Let's see here. I've been visiting with some troopers. You know, I see it from time to time. I have a camera in my front of the seat of my vehicle now, and I've been going around just taking pictures and things that I see. And I'm working on a PowerPoint presentation right now. I'm actually going to do it for TxDOT. And it's the myths of traffic laws in the state of Texas, whether it be lens covers, activation of headlights during daytime operation, whether any kind of law that people get confused on. But one of the things that I've been made aware of in the local troops is that, remember this, that your vehicle has to fall under 571-108, the standards, compliance federal standards of vehicle. And the compliance of this is day and night time. So when we get to the use of headlights and stuff, and we might have talked about this before on the show, is that if you have a headlight and you're going down a road and you've got the automatic headlights on, say it gets kind of dark or whatever, or they're being used for, you know, on my vehicle, I have ID, kind of a, they're not headlights, they're just marker lights that shows, that the vehicle, and that's what they're for, but during the atmosphere gets kind of dark, then my headlights come on. But anyway, if you have a headlight on during daytime operation and one of them don't work, the question is, can you officer stop you and for that violation? And based on the federal standards, the answer is yes. The lights, if they do come on, if not required, but if they do come on, they do have to work. So again, on that third brake light, questions again, that third brake light on your cab, top of your vehicle, whether it be a SUV or your truck, that also has to work. That also, they've had court decisions on them. Any vehicle 80 inches or less, they have to work. So if you have one of them's out, make sure you get them bulbs fixed, because you could get stopped by law enforcement on that kind of. So anyway, I've kind of been going through stuff like that. And this time of year and spring fishing on that, you'll start seeing these combination type vehicles again, where you have the pickup truck, you have the RV trailer, and then you have that boat on the back. A little dangerous to me, but there is limitations. The limitations on that combination is 65 feet. The vehicle pulling the pull unit on that, empty weight would have to be at least 2,500 pounds, which most of our pickup trucks these days, the half tons, are meet that standard. And most of them weigh up, I think, 4,000 or 5,000 pounds. So that shouldn't be a problem. They just don't want one of these smaller, very small pickups in that combination, because you know there's no way you're going to be able to control that if somebody pulls out in front of you after brake and all that. So there's a limitation of 65 feet. So if you do have that combination, make sure you take the time and you measure that combination of 65 feet. And if you're over that, then you're not going to be able to make that hook up to that combination. Now, if you don't confuse that with a truck, tractor, semi-trailer, in that combination, there is no overall length. The length is on the trailer, which is 59 feet. Of course, if they have two trailers, then they're limited to each trailer 28 and a half feet. One of the things I saw a couple of years ago coming through Milam County was a truck tractor grain trailer, and on the back of that trailer, it had a pickup truck attached to that and put a ball on the back of the trailer. So I was looking at that, and an interesting thing. So one would ask, why would that be or why would that be a violation of law? Well, the grain trailer would be over the 28 and a half feet. So he was legal if the grain trailer would not have been over the 28 and a half. But since he had the truck, you treat the truck that's being towed behind the trailer as a trailer. In that combination, he was over the 28 and a half feet on that middle trailer. So he was in violation of the law. So don't see that very often. It's usually during harvest time and stuff that you start seeing that. It's wet, and then the farmers are now trying to get in the fields and plant. I don't know. We're running out of time.
Yeah, good luck with that.
What the round table's telling me, that we're running out of time to get some of this stuff planted. So, again, on these auxiliary lamps that people are buying and putting them all over their vehicle, remember, you can only activate four lights at a time on your vehicle. And if there's an auxiliary lamp, there's some limitations on height. On that, and no lower than 24 inches and no higher than 42. So if you see one of these trucks going down the road, it's got the stream of lights on the hood. We're going to treat that as one unit if it's on. But a lot of them are over the 42 inches. And again, Sometimes people are putting them there and they're putting them everywhere, but if you turn your headlights on, that's a set of lights right there. If you put your high beams, you got four lights. So some people are finding themselves in a situation where they got too many lights on at one time, and some are actually in violation based on where they're installed at. So,
what else?
Still good?
Okay.
Yeah, we're still good. We got a couple more minutes. I'd say about another 2 minutes, maybe.
One of the things that we were talking about open carry. First of all, my comment on open carry when I got asked about that, I don't think I really got into it. You know, as a law enforcement officer, sadly enough, that when we make traffic stops or any kind of contact with the public, you almost have to assume these days that everybody's armed. And so open carry, as far as what it means to law enforcement, it's probably not going to mean a whole lot because we assume everybody's carrying anyway. So it's just whatever the legislation comes up with, we'll see how it's worded. We'll see how it, if, you know, enforceable wise, whatever. So I don't, you know, other than that, I just think it's not going to really have that big of an effect on law enforcement as far as people open carry. And certainly if it's a constitutional right, I certainly don't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. TOW 130, there's some legislation being looked at that may make that, you know, for a commercial truck to drive that, I hear it's pretty expensive. In their mind it is. So it's not being used as they thought it would be. So there is some legislation maybe to take the toll off and relook at that so the truckers will start using that a little bit more and help with that congestion downtown Austin on I-35. So, okay. Well, Craig, another day.
Another day down.
And I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you coming in today. As always, always informative. We always learn at least one thing new that we need to know.
Well, that's good.
And I know, as you can tell, the listeners, they love it because they always call to ask you questions. They're interested. If somebody does have a question, maybe they didn't think about it till just now, we're out of time, how can they contact you to get their questions asked?
Call me at the office, 979-776-3147. Or you can email me at jimmy.morgan@dps.texas.gov.
And always, if you don't remember that, you didn't write that down, just send it to me here in the studio, as always, mail@kwhi.com. I'll forward it to you, and then he'll take it from there. And as always, Morgan, just thanks so much for coming in and talking with us today. We always appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and sitting down with us.
Not a problem.
All right, we'll see you again in a few more weeks.
Yes, sir.
All right, this has been Safety Talk on KWHI. As always, recorded with Jimmy Morgan and with either himself or a guest. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, Steve hasn't been here, and I'm starting to miss him.
I called Steve yesterday. He's everybody's busy.
It's okay. We're starting to miss him around here.
So I don't want to tell him that.
No, okay. All right. We'll tell him next time he's in. But always somebody here with the Gorman Morgan sometimes, so we'll hope to have somebody else in to answer more questions for Safety Talk a couple of weeks. So thanks for joining us in today. Send you back to Real Country coming up in just a moment here on KWHI in Brenham.
I'm coming after you. If you want a race, then get on a racetrack. Well, if you try to run away, I'm going to bring you back. Here to keep all the speeder driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the highway patrol. I'm the highway patrol. Highway patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low. But I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the highway patrol.